Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sulochana Adital, a second year PhD student at Oklahoma State University. You see there's a slight change in my title. The current content is the same, but I have a slight change that I haven't included chloride part in my presentation. So my presentation is entitled to in-season application of sulfur and nitrogen in winter wheat. Start with a figure which kind of give you an idea on how the total S deposition is changing over the years in United States. You can clearly see in the year 2000, in the northeast part of the US, the dark brown area is so visible, and when you go on the 2012, it's not there anymore. So we can say the upper limit of the total S deposition, which is greater than 35 kg per hectare per year, is narrowed down to almost 15 to 20 kg per hectare per year in 2012. So this decrease in total S deposition is supposed to be due to the laws restricting industrial sulfur dioxide emissions. And this decrease in S deposition is contributing to the sulfur deficiency, which is a growing concern at present. And in addition to this decrease in S deposition, we have a decreased use of sulfur-containing fertilizer and sulfur-containing fungicides, which support the growing sulfur deficiency. We try to see the trend of sulfur fertilizer use in Oklahoma. Though we don't have all the fertilizer that we use, but from what we have, we see is the trend is either decreasing or it's the same, excluding the 2012 part for liquid ammonium thiosulfate. Moving to the role of sulfur and nitrogen, we know nitrogen is the most essential nutrient for the plant because it is required in the higher quantity, and sulfur comes as the fourth essential nutrient. Both of them are mobile, and they easily leaches from the soil, and their uptake and assimilation is strongly dependent to each other. And if we considered for the wheat and other non-legume crop in Oklahoma, the optimum NS ratio for the protein synthesis is 20:1. And basically, they are supplied from atmosphere, soil, and fertilizer. In addition to that, sulfur has a great role in synthesis of amino acid, methionine, cysteine, cysteine. And also, it helps in the improvement of baking quality of the wheat. Having said that, sulfur is very important to wheat, and we have the issue of growing sulfur deficiency. In Oklahoma, farmers are being encouraged to apply sulfur in wheat, but that doesn't include the soil test part to test whether we have a sufficient amount of soil sulfur in our growing condition. So we try to test whether our soil test data support the need of sulfur requirement for wheat in Oklahoma. So that leads to our objective of evaluating the main effect of sulfur and interaction effect of nitrogen and sulfur in winter wheat, grain yield, and total grain nitrogen. So moving to the material and method, we had three locations, Lahoma, Lake Hall, Blackwell, and Perkins. I'll be using the short form of the location as I move on. So Lahoma has a grand silt loam soil, Lake Hall Blackwell has a poor silt loam soil, and Perkins has a Taylor sandy loam soil. The location Lahoma and Lake Hall Blackwell, the soil kind of not much difference, but if we see the Perkins location, it is more sandy. So we kind of expect to see the sulfur response there. So for 2011 and 12, we had two locations, Lake Hall Blackwell and Lahoma, with a randomized complete block design with 4 application and 16 treatment, we use urea ammonium nitrate 0,40,80 as a pre-plant and source. We also use urea ammonium nitrate 10 and 20 plus Ensure urea trizone 10-20 as our foliar end source, and we use gypsum as a sulfur source. For 2013, we used 3 different locations. We added one more, and we had a completely different set of experiment with 7 treatments and 3 replication, where we used urea ammonium nitrate 0 and 40 kg per hectare. And we also use gypsum as a pre-plant surface source, sulfur source. And we use foliar N as a UAN and liquid sulfur max in S, which has like 13% sulfur as our foliar sulfur source. So all the foliar stuffs were dissolved in water and applied during the flag leaf stage using CO2 backpack sprayer. Some of the data we collected was soil sample, which was basically for 2 different depths, 0 to 15 centimeter and 15 to 45 centimeter. And this was pre-plant and post-harvest soil data. And we also collected tissue samples for 2 growth stages, Fickies 5 and flag leaf stage, though we don't have the data for tissue sample yet. Some other data we collected was grain yield and grain nitrogen. And all the data was analyzed using SAS statistical software and single degree of freedom contrast. So the result was grain yield and grain nitrogen was significant for Lahoma as a function of pre-plant N. And also the Lahoma grain nitrogen for 2012 was significant for the foliar end rate and N interaction, and rest of the other was non-significant. And the result for 2013 says like for Lake Carl Blackwell and Perkins, we had only the grain yield significant. And for Lahoma, we had only the grain nitrogen significant. And rest of the other was non-significant. We try to compare our result with the soil test data. And if we see the red highlighted column for the soil sulfur level, we see that it's sufficient for the wheat, which means this is the requirement for the sulfur is supplied enough by the soil. So, and if we see the result from 2013 data, we also find the same thing, same result, like we have sufficient sulfur in the soil. And also, if we compare our pre-plant soil data with the post-harvest soil data, we see there is a decrease in the sulfur level, which clearly indicates that the amount of sulfur has been used up by the plant, and that might be the reason for not getting any sulfur response. And it is also same with the subsurface sulfur level. So moving on to the conclusion we have is there was linear increase in yield and grain nitrogen at Lahoma with increasing pre-plant N, and there was no response of foliar S any of those locations. There was no NS interaction, and we saw that soil test level were high, indicating that the response of sulfur was unlikely. And if producer continue to use sulfur in the soil, then it's unlikely to see the response of the sulfur. Last but not the least, I want to acknowledge my committee members, Dr. Belruan, Dr. Brian Arnold, Dr. Arklatt. I would like to thank my lab members, Soil Fertility Group, also the funding agency, College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources, and Department of Plant and Soil Science. Thank you, and I want to take your questions if you have.
We have 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes for questions. So please ask any question that you have.
Because you mentioned it, but what is the
I think that's a more liquid one they are using, or elemental sulfur also. Yeah, I kind of think so, but I'm not sure about it. I have to do the experiment again and then see whether like the mineralization in the soft surface level will increase, and then that will be available to the crop next season.
You have to. If those fields had a history of sulfur before you started your study?
History of sulfur?
Yeah, sulfur fertilization before your study, so when the farmers sitting on the sulfur?
No. It's completely a research field. It's not a farmer's plot.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
Are there any other consequences of applying sulfur if it's not needed?
I think maybe some entities are trying to sell their product as a marketing promotion strategy. I don't know. So I thought that we need to show something like some statistics so that we can say that, okay, this is not needed. Yes, please.
What type of, you said that was a response for foliar nitrogen. What type of response did you get?
When the nitrogen was increased linearly, we see there was a change in the yield and grain nitrogen. It was a linear increase in the grain and nitrogen.
Yeah, how much yield was increased by foliar nitrogen?
There was not much difference. I think it was 5 to 10 kg per hectare.
Did you see any nitrogen use efficiency increase by applying the sulfur?
No, I didn't see that part. I didn't see any the nitrogen use efficiency.
Yes. Just curious, since you had fluoride in your title, did you see any fluoride responses?
Actually, I had a different experiment which I included fluoride, but in this part, I didn't present that,
right.
But there was no response to chloride. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.